Okay, world, Boker Tov. Today's daf from Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel. And we're still in the middle of trying to figure out the pasuk, basically, all of the diyukim in the pasuk, of what do we mean when we say Vishama Isha. Which, of course, is true about the Baal as well. So her father heard about it. Her husband heard. Does that mean, like we would say, heard about it in English, that he found out? It doesn't mean that he literally heard about it with his ears. Or does it actually mean that he heard about it? So that was one question that we had about the nature of the pasuk, Vishama Isha, and the other issues in the pasuk, of course, are also going to be important, as we'll get to a little bit later. So let's continue with that question, because the issue of whether he actually needs to hear or not. So, okay, we understood that we could be doicha all of the cases and say that he made it tonight, that when he does hear about it, at that point it will be chal from Yitzhon and so forth. Today we have an additional question, which is fascinating. And that is, does he at least have to be able to hear? Because remember, we have a general klal that even when a particular issue is not ma'akev, but the possibility is ma'akev. And that, of course, is the famous, as Gavi has long written down, kol haroi lebila, ein bila ma'akevet bo, bekoshe in roi levila bila ma'akevet bo. Now, that's based on the halacha that we have by Minachot, and that is that bolel, to be able to mix the mincha properly, we know that lemaisa, we have a kabbalah that more than shishim, so you're not going to be able to actually be bolel. Okay, but bila in a makemet generally. So if lemaisa you did not do a job of bila, it's not going to be makev the mincha. However, we have this amazing klal, which is that when the Torah tells you something and you don't do it, and we don't have the repetitive halacha which we need in order to be ba'akev by kachim, remember that it should shana ba'akos v'la'akev. We don't have one of the other issues like mentioning chok or whatever. We could prove that the Torah means that without this it's not kosher. That's only if it could be done but wasn't done. But if it cannot be done, then even if we don't have an indication that it's possible, it certainly is part of the description of the nature of the Aveda. And therefore, if it can't be done, it doesn't fit the entire pasuk. So now the question is like this. If you want to tell me that when it says Vishama Isha, it doesn't mean literally he had to hear about it, but does it mean he has to be able to hear about it physically? And that if he's deaf, so then he is not included in the entire parasha, you see? So this adds now a third possibility. In other words, first of all, we are choshesh, maybe you literally need to hear about it, in which case there's nothing to discuss. If he's deaf, then we discuss, well, maybe you don't literally need to hear about it. You need to find out about it. But if that's the case, then we still have to figure out, do you need to be able to hear about it? And that still would be a question. Now that gives rise to another very fascinating point. Because remember that the Rambam takes the words, and if you wish to assume, im timtza lomar, and then to ask an additional question about it as indicative that that's what the Gemara is willing to go with. Let's fly with this. So in other words, when Rami Bar Choma now says, im timtza lomar ba'al mefer b'lo shemia. So here's my question. And im timtza lomar is an indication that, let's accept that, that a baal is made for without shmiya. That actually is a machlokas rishonim about whether this im timtza lomar, like the Ran, indicates that we're ready to take that on lahalacha, even though we weren't able to prove it. Okay, so let's see this inside now. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. What about if someone is deaf? Now, normally, of course, cheresh means deaf and dumb, and that means he doesn't have das, and therefore, obviously, he wouldn't be included. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about someone who can't hear. And the question is, do we need to say, even if, im timtza lomar, that a baal, which is the pashtus of our Mishnah, is that you don't really need to hear. Because, I mean, it's true, as the Ran points out, we did answer the Mishnah, we answered the Braita, and we answered all of our rayas that, well, maybe it's talking about that you said, when I will find out about it. We answered the apotropis question that the apotropis tells her when your husband, but, you know, I mean, that certainly is weird, isn't it? This is not the pashtus of the meaning. So if you couple that to the im timtza lomar of Rami Bar Choma, it seems pretty clear that, you know, let's just accept the Mishnah as it is, like Rami Bar Choma did, and move on. So our next question would be, how about in a case where he can't hear? So even if the Baal can be made for without hearing, that might be Mishum Debar Mishmahu. At least he's capable of hearing. Avocheresh, the Lav Bar Mishmahu. Then we get into the famous idea of Rabbi Zeira. The Omer Rabbi Zeira, Kol Haro'i Levila, Ein Bila Me'akevet Bo, V'choshe Ein Ro'i Levila, Bila Me'akevet Bo. That's the famous metaphor for all cases where the Torah states a case where we don't have an indication that the particulars are ma'akev, but the possibility of this case existing is ma'akev. And therefore, v'shama isha means that there has to be at least a possibility that the case that the Torah provides as a standard would apply even here, that this guy could have actually been v'shama isha. If he doesn't have any ears, so then he's not included in this parsha. That's the question, because this would be the equivalent of being unable to be mevalel the mincha. Now, if you're unable to, even though normally you don't have to in order for it to be kosher, but then that would be ma'akev. Oh, Dilma, the whole point of a shama isha just means to find out. It doesn't mean at all that he has to literally hear, which gives a shama isha is metaphorical. Or it's diber hakatuv bahoveh. Take the norm, you know, normally, okay, that's what we mean when we say metaphorical, when we find out about something because we heard about it. So when you say, oh, I heard about the upcoming, whatever, what does that mean, I heard about it? It means, you know, you read a newspaper, whatever. That's my question. Omar Rava, let me answer that, okay? Toshma, I'll bring you Araya. Vishama Isha, what do you say about this? It's a fair shabraita. Vishama Isha means prat le eshet cheresh. There you go. Shma mina. So there's your answer. We have a bright that says beferish. You must at least be capable of hearing. Now, another question. The pasuk does not only say vishama isha. It says imyani if he moves her away. That's the lashon of the hafara in the pasuk. That he will be yani ota. So what exactly is the ota? Because, I mean, if it would have said yaniya, okay, it says yani ota. So it stresses that he has to specifically focus on her. The yom shemoa isha yani ota. Aha. So my question, therefore, would be, suppose a guy has two wives and both of them gang up on him with the same letter. So now he's got two wives that he has to be made for. Dr. Barry, a hand of all things.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I did have a question about the deaf person. I was wondering why it wouldn't be sufficient for the daughter to write down her vow. And then I was thinking maybe the point is it's not the informational content of the vow, but he has to hear it because it's not what she says, but how she says it, because this is about intentionality. And you can't just really feel the intention just by knowing the informational content of the nether. You have to hear it to really understand what she wants to give over. I was wondering if that...
I think that's a wonderful additional insight into our discussion yesterday about a theory of mind and the way that the entire... which we're going to go further with today later. So yes, I think it's very valuable. If that's what it would mean. I mean, obviously it's more of a Rabbi Shimon Derish time at the Krah kind of issue. But remember that when it comes to Nedarim, we're much more open to that, as we're going to see soon on Ahmed Beis. So thank you very much for that, Ha'ara. Okay, now, although I do want to protest against your choosing a very particularly white-skinned hand, I mean, that this would mean that there's some hidden prejudice, I think, within you, and that disqualifies you from any further comments in this shir, as you know. And if there are any statues of you that we find, we'll throw them into the river. So be careful. All right. A big mistake. So now, the question over here is, when you say ota, does ota mean literally her? Or it's just, you know, because usually that's the case. But if you got two wives that ganged up on you, so you could be made for both Nedarim at the same time, perhaps. What do you say? Davka or lav davka? Om Ravina, let me bring you a raya. It says in the Braita, that ain, actually, that ein mashkin shtei sotot ke'achat. Interesting. So you have two women, both of them require the drinking of the mayim, each to their for their husband. Well, we cannot use an opportunity to do two of these procedures simultaneously. Why? Because, look, the whole idea here is that we're trying to get her to admit that she committed adultery. And we do not want to use the mesota. And that's ridiculous. We're not interested in killing her. We're not certainly not interested in erasing the shame for no reason. So we always try to really give maximum psychological pressure that she should just say, yeah, it's true, I did sleep with the guy. Okay, fine. So if she says that, so they get divorced. That's it. But we won't go through this whole procedure. Now, if there's another woman there, then the fact that woman, first of all, may be actually innocent, you know, and in her mind, everybody that's here has got to be guilty, you know, because once someone was guilty, that's the modern idea. So, okay. So she says, well, look at this other woman. She keeps denying it. Of course she keeps denying it because she never slept with the guy, but fine, but she doesn't know that. So she keeps denying it. So I'll deny it also. So in the whole procedure will be ruined, at least that aspect of it that is meant to encourage her to be moda before we erase the Shem Hashem. And because of that, we can't have two people at the same time. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, no, that's not why. Lo min Hashem hu zeh. The reason that we will not be mashkat shtei sotot at the same time is because it says vihishka with a mapike. Now, a mapike means that it's actually saying vihishka ota, specifically. And therefore, since the pasuk said one and one only, you can't have shtei sotot. Oh, give me this whole jazz of your analysis as to why it's true. That's irrelevant. The point is that it's a diaraita. Okay, now that is pretty clear that it means ota levada. So it means that the same thing ought to be true over here as well. Now, what about as far as the halacha is concerned? This is very interesting because since the whole idea over here, it starts from this analysis of, as Ravina said, you know, it's a psychological thing. She's going to see the other woman. We're going to ruin the pressure that we're trying to put on her and so on. So then that's an indication that since that shita was called the drabanan, so if that's the case, he is basically proving, as Ravina says, that the issue is not because of ota, that this is a private opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but that the drabanan, which would mean lahalacha, they hold that the issue is not because ota means dafka, ota. And because of that, the halacha should be that a baal actually can be made for two women at the same time. That's what it would appear. Now the question is that the only way to understand the sugya? It turns out, as the Ran points out, that the way the Ramban understands it, that the Tanakam, who's in? Dvorah, mute, please. Mute. Good. So now the question is, who is that Tanakhama? And here we get into the question of Darshinan Taima Dikra. So remember that Rabbi Shimon Shita is that wherever the Torah says something, we are supposed to analyze the meaning of that and apply it even lahalacha. So if we say that the Reisha over here, the Rabbanan, is going according to Rabbi Shimon, then the truth is there is no nafkamina between these two shitas. Everybody understands that ota means ota dafka. The only question is there a reason for that? Is it because of the psychology of the sota? Or is it just because the word says that and stops sticking in your two-cent analysis? That's the question. In which case, the way the Ramban sees it, everybody is essentially accepting the ota. And that is the pashtus of the sugya, that you cannot do a hafara for two people at once. We are now ready for the words of our very own Capitan.
Who says,
Now this is a Mishnah. That was a beautiful Capitan. Now this is a Mishnah we've discussed before. Bogeret, Sheshahata Yud Beis Chodesh. Then we already saw, wait a minute. Remember we quoted the Mishnah before and we said, stop, hold it right there. What do you mean a Bogeret, Sheshahata Yud Beis Chodesh? A Bogeret doesn't need Yud Beis Chodesh. So we changed it to read, Bogeret Vishishahata Yud Beis Chodesh. So it's true that a Bogeret really is already sort of desperate. She's 12 and a half years old. She hasn't gotten married yet. She already sees herself as an old maid. She's been very busy, you know, making all the preparations for her wedding. And because of that, we changed the girsa to read a bogeret. Now, bogeret, it would depend how much time, right? Because she gets a total of 12 months, but we're including all the time that she had before to prepare in that. And therefore, there's two different things over here, a bogeret or even a child that was shushata yud beis chodesh in the baal, the orus, promised that at the end of that time, whatever it is, that she is going to be taken to the chuppah and he doesn't perform. So remember that the halacha we had back in Ketuvot, the halacha is that he has to start supporting her. And in the event that he has to start supporting her, let's just remember some other issues come up. And there we spoke about, can she eat truma? If he is a kohen, so then is he already considered to be her husband at the end of 12 months, even if he doesn't take her to the chuppah, because of the fact that he's supporting her, or not? So we had over there a Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, that we're going to be discussing soon, and that is that the reasons for the Isser of an arusa eating truma are actually only drabona. Because remember that midiraisa, kinyan kaspo will be yochalbo. So is an arusa kinyan kaspo? He sent her a ring and he was ba'ariser? Yes, he's kinyan kaspo. If he's a kohen, therefore, can he give her truma? Yes, because she's kinyan kaspo. And that would be true even if it's truma diraita? Sure. Why not? It's kinyan kaspo. However, remember that we had two possible problems. Problem number one was what we used to call the Coke bottle in the fridge. If he starts sending her Truma Coke and all of her kitty brothers and sisters start opening the fridge door and drinking her Coke, which is always part of the problem of sending a Coke to her, as we'll see in a minute, so then you're going to be machshil them in drinking Truma. And that, of course, is a chiyuv of misa, min hashamayim, and that we want to avoid. So therefore, midrabanan, we say, no, she's not allowed to have truma because we don't want this kind of situation to develop. There's also another problem. The other problem is called simpon. Simpon means that there may turn up to be something that he didn't know about that will actually annul his kinyan. So suppose after marriage, it turns out that she's a Martian. Now, he didn't know that before, but he never wanted to marry a Martian. So then that would mean that l'chatchila, the entire marriage was null and void. And that would mean that during that entire period, she was eating truma, which is a chiyav misa. Question is there a chiyav misa on Martians? Maybe it wasn't literally a Martian. She just sort of looked like a Martian. But he didn't know about that until she was actually exposed to him. So that was called simpon. So because of that, the Rabbanan were gozer that we don't want to take a chance. And we do not allow a woman who has not yet been exposed to her husband, we don't allow her before the actual taking her to the chuppah to eat truma. Now keep that in mind as we continue with the issue here. So remember, I'm telling you this because we already spoke about it before, and therefore you're going to get confused if you don't realize that the Gemara is ultimately going to take all of this into consideration. Remember that there was also a similar issue that came up with the problem of a husband who doesn't perform, an orus who doesn't perform, binogea nidarim. And that was that even in the event that a marriage was not a diraisa marriage, so we could be talking about a drabonan where the father had died and the mother marries her off as a katana, even in those cases, the Baal can be made for a neder, even if the neder was a deraisa, because it's possible in a mufla somuch le'ish, for, which would be true of a girl as well, for the neder to be chal during katnut, and it would be a deraita, and nonetheless, the Baal is able to be made for even though he's not married to a deraita. How did we come up with that? Because we said, kol anoderet al dat Baal anoderet. Now, here's where my comment to Barry before is nogea. When it comes to nedarim, that idea is not dependent on Rabbi Shimon. And that is fascinating. Normally, we would say that in order to come up with a concept like that, that the Torah is allowing the husband to be made for nedarim, I mean, I don't know, you know. Yes, says Rabbi Shimon, I know, because we're meant to understand the psychology of the tzivuyim of the Torah. But if we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, how did we come up with the idea of kol anoderet al dat Baal anoderet? And this is where Dr. Barry's comment is so chashuv. Because as we've seen, the entire issue of nedarim, from beginning to end, is predicated on a theory of mind. Not only the din of hafara, all of the halachas that we had before. The guy makes a neder, he's not going to ever have wool on him. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the context. I mean, we understand that if the guy's been carrying around wool, you know, and he's sweating and he's sick and tired of his own stench, so when he made that comment, he meant he's not going to be a sambal of wood. Of course, he's allowed to wear a woolen sweater. Well, how do you know? I mean, it's not what he said, because that's the point of nedarim. So, and the inverse is true. If he's wearing a wool sweater and he's scratching is like crazy because he's allergic to wool, so then he means he won't wear wool sweaters. But he would be allowed to carry wool. So those were all cases that we had earlier. Many such cases, right? So that means that when it comes to nedarim, we understand that the zeh hadavar opens up our understanding of a sugya to be dependent on psychology and to be dependent on our ability to read minds, so to speak, which is a theory of mind. So obviously, when we come to hafara, we can do that as well, which is why Dr. Barry's comment, even if it's not Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, has real bearing on the understanding of the words of Shama Isha, that there's a completely different ability to read a mind, so to speak, because of tonalities. And we've seen tonalities all through the sugya. If something is said, B'loshen Tema, the low, or low. I mean, that was completely different dinim, legabi nedarim. So therefore, it makes sense. It would be true about hafara as well. So now the question in our Mishnah, when we get to the famous psak of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that hoyel ubala chayav bezonotea yafer, and now if the oros is not performing, he is mechuyev to take care of her, that means that by definition, if he has to take care of her, then he is like a husband. Now, we don't know what that means yet. Why would he be like a husband? That's what we're going to be discussing. V'chachamim omrim, never. In abal mefer, ad shetikanes l'shuto. Look, the Torah gives the right of hafara to a husband. A husband doesn't mean an orus. A husband means after a chuppah. Now, says Rabba, I see a real comparison between the way Rabbi Eliezer is granting a status of husbandry to an orus, v'nogei nedarim, and the way that the Mishnah Rishayna that we had back in Ksuvos was granting a status of a husband to an orus of non-performance vis-a-vis the dinim of truma. It would seem that they're both saying the same things. Before we got to the Mishnah Achrona, where the Mishnah Achrona says, no, we have to worry about the Coke in the refrigerator. We have to worry about her being a Martian. Fine, okay. So those were Gezeres Midrabanan, which were the Shema Yashke to her siblings, or Simpon for the Martian. Okay, that was a Gezera. But as far as the Ikra Halacha was concerned, the original way that the Mishnah read it was precisely like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, says Rabbah, you know, it would appear that Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona in Ketuvot L'gabi Truma are basically saying the same thing. What is that same thing? A non-performing arus who needs to support his now prospective nisua becomes the equivalent of a baal. So if you read it, just on the surface, it definitely looks that way, right? Same sugya. And what am I referring to? Titzanah, notnim lebetula yud beis chodesh ufarnes atzma, higia yud beis chodesh, ochelet mishalo, vochelet betruma. Fascinating. So once the 12 months are up, this guy's, if he doesn't perform, is going to have to start giving his money for her support. And therefore, he is able to eat, she is able to eat his truma. Because what? Because he's really a husband. He effectively becomes a husband. Same thing that Rabbi Eliezer says. Oh, by the way, it does say over there that a yavam, now this is very tangential, but it does say over there, we're going to learn the whole Mishnah, that if she is not in the presence of an Orus, the Orus died, obviously without children, and or at least we hope so, and he has a brother, and now she is a Yavama, and now he too, with an amazing coincidence, is also a Kohen, just like his brother was, gosh. And the question is, can the Yavam give her Truma? The answer is no. The Yavam can't give her Truma. Why? Because the Torah said, Kinyan Kaspo. Was he the one that had given the Kesef to her? No. And therefore, the din of the Yavam is not the same as the din of the husband. Avala Yavam, Eno Ma'achil B'Truma. And even if 12 months are split, 6 months she was waiting for her Orus to perform, and then he drops dead. And then she's got another 6 months waiting for his brother to do either Yibum or Chalitza, and he does not. Or for that matter, even if the entire period was before the Baal, except one day is missing, or vice versa, obviously vice versa, the halacha would be she cannot, in that case, eat truma of the Yavam. Now, here there's a machlokas, by the way, because Rashi says over there that when it says chaser yom echad, it doesn't mean chaser yom echad. It's just using that language to keep it parallel, because the truth is, even if all 12 months were in front of the Orus, and the Orus died the day after he was supposed to take her to the chuppah, it would still be the same problem. How could the Yavam give her truma if he was not the one that had given her her diamond ring, right? Or golden ring, whatever it was that makes her nesuah. So the question over there is, then what difference does it make, even if it was the full 12 months? And indeed, Rashi says there that it does not make a difference. However, the Rabbeinu Tam says it does make a difference. Why? Because once the Torah was mezakeh her in eating truma, if the husband dies, then when she falls to the Yavam does not take away her rights of achila once they've been granted. He just can't create them. Okay, just that's, again, an aside. The whole story of Yibum over here is we've popped down into a different issue. Now, anyway, let's pop back up again into the comparison of Rebbe Eliezer's Shita with the Shita of the Mishnah Rishena in the Mishnah in Ketuvot. Fine. The Mishnah there continues. Zo Mishnah Rishona. However, the Bez Din Shel Achareyam Amru, you cannot do that. Eina Yisha Ochelet B'Truma, Achit Tkanes L'Chupa, because we don't want any kind of accidents, either because of simpons or because of Coke bottles in the fridge. And it turns out over there that the Mishnah Rishona also knew about Coke bottles and also knew about Martians. But the difference is that the Mishnah Rishona holds that before the man is going to be willing to take a woman to the chuppah, he finds out whether she's a Martian. And that's called bedikas chutz. So in other words, what he does is he asks other people that are close to her, family members, look, I mean, you've seen her undressed, right? I mean, you went to the mikveh with her or whatever. Is she a Martian? So he finds out if she's a Martian or not. You know, because, I mean, it's very hard to get those horny green bodies, you know, looking human. So fine. So that's good enough. And the same thing is true. If he's going to start giving her coke, You think he wants to support her entire family with coke? No way. So what he does is he only gives her food by having a special place where she's got her own food. Maybe he's got the special Kohanim restaurant that she has an account in and she could eat. And that way there's not going to be a problem. That's what the Mishnah Rishonah holds. The Mishnah Akronah says you can't rely on that, you know? I mean, you can't be 100% sure she's not a Martian by asking other people. Take a look at the shidduch market. You ask all of these questions, and sure enough, she turns out to be a Martian. So what good did it do? So therefore, we're not same. I got a little bit of a smile from Elroy. Okay. So therefore, we are actually in the same boat, but we don't want to rely on it. So it's not a fundamental machlokas over here. But, okay, bottom line. Reb Eliezer says she gets the dinim as if her husband is a real husband. That's what Reb Eliezer says. He can be made for her nedarim as if he's a real husband. How do you like that, says Rabbi. So it looks like Reb Eliezer is saying the same thing as that Mishnah Rishonah. Omer Le Abaye, I don't see the slightest similarity. I mean, the similarity is entirely superficial. Listen, I mean, think about it. Neither the Mishnah Rishonah would agree necessarily with Reb Eliezer, nor would Reb Eliezer agree with the Mishnah Rishonah. I would say like this, Dilma Loli, Ad kan lo ka'ashmina Mishnah Rishonah, ela lamecha b'truma d'rabbanan. I mean, she's not allowed to eat truma d'oraisa based on this, because everybody agrees that we're chayshish for what might happen. Aval nedarim, nedarim we're talking about, even where she makes a neder d'oraisa, we're allowing him to be made for a neder. Maybe the Mishnah would not agree to that. Furthermore, ad kan lo shamatle le Reb Eliezer ela gabi nedarim. Reb Eliezer came up with this halacha because, not because stam, he says, if a woman is being given her parnosim from someone, the Torah considers him to be a husband. No, that's not the point. It has nothing to do with eating truma. Why would the Torah consider him to be a husband vis-a-vis truma? Now, remember, guys, we're not really talking about the Torah considering him, because we know that midoraisa, she is allowed to eat kinyan kaspo even as an orus. The only reason that we keep pretending that this is the difference between the d'oraisa and the rabbanan is that if, in fact, there would be any basis to a d'oraisa, then the rabbanan always have a klal. The rabbanan will always make their dinim the equivalent of the dinim d'oraisa. That's the point. So the only reason they would have been matirin is because of the fact that midoraisa, she was actually really mutter to eat. So that's why we're taking for granted that the issue over there is the truma d'rabbanan. Masha Inke Nidorim D'Oraisa Lo, and Reb Eliezer was basing his halacha on Rav Pinchas, as we've explained before. And that's Rav Pinchas Mishmeida Rava. D'Yomar Kol HaNoderet Al Da'at Ba'alahi Noderet. But Truma? Maybe even Midrabbanan she can't eat. Because if you're not willing to allow her to eat the Truma D'Oraisa, so then we wouldn't allow her to eat Truma at all. Now here we get into an interesting question. When we are taking Rav Pinchas as telling us that we have a right to jump to conclusions, and that is we have a theory of mind, which again, this perek is the most powerful perek of understanding these bipolar nedarim as being a real issue of a theory of mind. And that's why the Torah has split the rights and we get into all of these questions. So the question is like this. Suppose someone would have made a neder that was dependent on someone else's das. So okay, does that mean that we derive from here that in a case where it's not a husband, right? It's just simply a partner that the person we know is like really thinking that everything that I do is going to be on his das. What would be the halacha? So the Ran brings that even in such a case, I mean, isn't that essentially what Reb Pinchas is saying? That since we understand this as a theory of mind, that it would be possible to be mayfair. The Ran says, to me, this is pure insanity, and it betrays an actual to'ut bohora'ah. It's not that I disagree. I think that this is literally an absolute error. Why? Why would it be an absolute error? So let's understand. If somebody says beferish, I am making this neder, and I am making it because I believe that this is what my friend or partner wants. And then friend or partner says, well, I don't want. Obviously, in that case, it would be a getter of a neder on a tanai, depending on how he said it. It might even be a neder toes, right? We had before the question of, I don't want to marry that woman ever because she's a Martian, and it turns out she isn't a Martian. Or the question is whether she becomes different afterwards. What did it mean? Okay, this would be dependent on that. Of course, that would be a typical situation that has nothing to do with Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas is only saying that when someone is a husband, what does that mean? Someone is a husband, he would do hafara. If you make a t'nai like that, you don't do hafara. You don't have to say mufarlach. If a husband says mutarlach, it's not mutarlach, as we're going to see. He has to specifically say mufarlach. If a husband gets up and says, well, I don't like that, is that the same thing as mufar? These are issues that we're going to see. Certainly, if somebody is indicating that he's making a neder on some premise, there's no din of how it is that you say it. There's no concept of hatara versus hafara. It just has to turn out that the neder was a mistake or that the tanai wasn't mikuyam. Therefore, Taina is the Ran, that obviously Rav Pinchas halacha is that someone who is a husband is mefer because kol anoderet al dat bala. And all that he's doing is defining, what do I mean by a husband? I mean the person who is acting as a husband, who she's relating to as a husband, because of the fact that now she's become so involved with him that he's providing her parnasa. He would never say this about someone who is not a husband. Therefore, it's a ta'ut bahora'ah. So we are not simply saying that kol anoderet al dat ba'alai, noderet is just a question of a theory of mind. It's based on a gzirat ha-katuf, that the Torah gives specific rights of hafara to the husband. I'm just extending the meaning of what the Torah meant by saying a husband. This is how the Ran understands the sugya. And therefore, in this case, I say, says Abaye, that it has absolutely nothing to do with the question of the eating truma. What does that have to do with making a hafara? One is a gzirat ha-katuv that is based on our understanding of husbandry, and the other is based on the completely different question of eating truma derabanan and being chayshesh for either simpon or for shema tashke la'achel ve'la'achoteha.